Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the book of Zechariah. Though written more than 500 years before Jesus, this powerful little book has much to say about today's headlines, as well as deep insight into the Lord's work and ministry in the lives of believers right now. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Zechariah chapter 1. The summer of my 13th year was not too good. My parents had separated. My mom moved to Southern California, and she moved to a little community up in the San Bernardino Mountains, and it was very wooded and kind of secluded. In many respects, it was similar to the topography of, say, Incline Village, if you know about how that goes, where there's different roads, and then there's lots of trees, and then different roads, and they meander all around following the contour of the hills there. And I remember that summer was kind of strange because, number one, my parents were divorced. That felt weird and strange. Many of you in this room can totally relate to that. And then secondly, I was in Southern California, which I wasn't used to. And then I was staying with my mom in her kind of this place that she was renting. And that felt strange. I remember I went out for a little bit of a walk. And my mom said, "Well, don't go very far. I'm 13 years old. I know what's going on." So, as I said, it's similar to sort of Incline Village, and I made a right and a left and a left and a right, and then I forgot what left and right was, and I got lost. And I remember meandering through street after street. I didn't know the city. I didn't know any of the people. And I'm 13 years old, and I'm trying to be all tough. But I was lost. I was straight up lost, and I didn't know how to get back. And I walked and I walked and I walked and I walked and I tried to recognize houses, but the neighborhood was completely unfamiliar to me. And I remember I was just about ready to do what is hardest of all for men to do of all ages, stop and ask for directions. God forbid we ever do something like that. And I made the corner and I slightly recognized one of the houses as being at the end of the street. By now, it was getting dusk and on towards dark. And I made the corner. My legs were pounding because I've been walking basically for several hours straight. And I turned the corner, and there was my mom that I recognized talking to a police official of some kind. And I walked up, and she did what moms do when kids have been lost. Hugged me close, and then, "What do you think you're doing? I'm going to drive." The police officer said, "Well, I think we had this one." She'd called the police because I was lost. I was lost! And as I kind of relived that time, it occurred to me I felt lost, not only geographically, but I remembered how lost I felt on about 50 different other categories. Because this next fall, I was going to go into high school, freshman in high school. Do you guys remember that? Things were happening and changing. I was in a strange place. And it occurred to me I felt lost on so many levels. How do I get back home? That was Israel here in the book of Zechariah. In 722 BC, the Assyrian kings had taken over northern Israel. King David, and then King Solomon, and King Solomon had his son Rehoboam, and then a fellow by the name of Jeroboam. They fought it out. The kingdom split effectively. Northern portion of Israel was termed Israel, or Ephraim, and they were led by a succession of terrible kings. In 722 BC, the Assyrians came, and they wiped out the northern 10 tribes, by and large, and took captive the best and the brightest of the people. Civil war of sorts had happened. The godly of northern Israel moved down to the south, and then the secular and the idolatrous of the southern tribes moved to the north. So when technically the 10 tribes were overrun, not really. All 12 tribes are represented adequately, of course, in the southern area of Judah. But anyway, in 722, the northern kingdom is gone. About 150 or so years later, in 606 BC, the Babylonians came, and then they captured the southern tribes, and then that's when Daniel, the prophet, is taken away to Babylon. 70 years they were prophesied that they were going to be away. And during that exile, the prophet Daniel received the revelation that there would be Gentile or non-Jewish kingdoms that would be dominant over the people and the land of Israel. Until when? Until God set His kingdom on the earth under the rule of the Messiah. When does that happen? That's going to be Revelation chapter 19. Well, during this period, referred to by Jesus as the times of the Gentiles, then a couple of other things happened. Even though Israel came back 70 years later, that we're going to read about a bit here today, they were still under the auspices, under the thumb, under the boot, really, of one successive Gentile kingdom or empire after another. Then in the year 539 BC, the Babylonian Empire falls to the Persian Empire, then by a fella by the name of Cyrus the Great. And you've heard me talk about that. When he shows up in there in Babylon, he is met by little old 90-plus-year-old Daniel. And Daniel shows him the scroll of Isaiah, specifically Isaiah chapter 44 and 45, where Cyrus's name is written to the letter. Here you are, Cyrus. Oh, my name is in your holy books. That's pretty awesome. How did you guys get it so fast? And Daniel said, The book of Isaiah was written 150 years before you were born, O great king. No way. Daniel's all, way. Truly. He was so impressed. And it even in chapter 45 of Isaiah, it shows exactly the battle plan of how Cyrus was going to conquer Babylon. He's so impressed that he issues a decree. All right, Jews, the God of the Jews is obviously alive and well, predicting the future, so I'm going to decree that you guys get to go back. Well, only a small minority, about 50,000 Jews, did so. And that included the prophets Haggai that we saw last week and Zechariah that will begin this week. They returned under the leadership of the governor, Zerubbabel, and the high priest, a fellow by the name of Joshua. Levitical sacrifices were soon reinstituted on a rebuilt altar. They laid the foundations upon their return, the foundations of the temple, I should say. But then God said, get busy to work. And what happened? Well, they ran into exterior challenges from the outside. And here's the best part. An interior backbiting, divisions, and just people doing what they do. Whenever God shows up and does a work, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in a home fellowship, whether it's in a church, the enemy can't leave it alone if there's life all over it. So what does he do? He works in on the inside, and he gets Christian fighting against Christian. And that has done more damage, in my estimation, to stop or hinder God's work than anything that the infidels could throw. Internal oppression and internal contention halted the rebuilding of the temple for 16 years. And then in 520 BC, in the second year of one of the successive Persian kings, a fellow by the name of Darius, in 520 BC, the second year of Darius the Great, God raised up Haggai the prophet to encourage the Jews in rebuilding. Haggai preached only four sermons. It's only two chapters long. 2 months after Haggai's first message, Zechariah, the prophet we're going to see, is raised up for prophetic ministry. And you 20-somethings, please perk up and listen to this. Do you know how old Zechariah was? He was about late 20s, perhaps, mid to late 20s. A whole nation needed revival. And who did God send? He sent the young adults group. The mid-20, late-20-somethings God loves to use. Revival was needed, and who did he send? Zechariah. Well, Zechariah encouraged the people to spiritual renewal and inspired them to rebuild the temple. How? By revealing God's plan for Israel's future. In the short term, and as we'll see, and the long term. Zechariah is one of the most prophetic books, pound for pound, of any of the books of the Old or New Testament, even the book of Revelation. Here's the nation of Israel who had a calling, who had a job to do. I want you to be a nation again after 70 years of taking you to Idol Central, because before that, I told you, work the land 6 years, the seventh year, let it rest. And they didn't. They did so for 490 years. So if they worked it 490 years straight, how many years did they owe God? 70 years, and that's what happened. Well, the 70 years are up. Go back and begin to be the people of God. Only 50,000 left the indoor plumbing of Babylon and the cable network and the DSL hookup for their internet service. Only 50,000. They were going to have to pioneer through. They're going to have to get things done. About that first year, they laid the foundations for the temple. But as I said, external problems and pressures and fears with internal contentions blow the whole thing up. And for 16 years, nothing is going on. And that is so our message today, Harvest family. Are you listening within the sound of my voice? Here's what they were saying. It's too hard. It's just a building, this tabernacle. What's the big deal? I got to pay the bills. I got to keep my wife happy. I got to keep my husband happy. I got teenagers in the house. I got problems and challenges. It's just a little tiny house. And God is saying, you don't get it. This house is going to be the house that Messiah the King will enter on Palm Sunday. This is the house that later, even after that, is going to be rebuilt in the very last days, that the Antichrist is going to defile, that ultimately the Messiah of God on the true triumphal entry is going to blow away. And then the millennial reign of this Messiah is going to center and focus on this house. You have no idea how important this work is. And I feel that that is what the Lord is saying to us in Reno Sparks. What's the big deal? It's just a marriage. What's the big deal? It's just kids. I work hard. I come home. I don't want to get into devotions with them. It's just the kids. What's the big deal? And I feel with all of my heart, Harvest family, God says, wake up! You are very important to what God is doing in these last days. Wake up. Wake up. It's just a marriage. It's just a relationship. It's just whatever. And God says, you don't get it. You are huge in the last days. That's why I had you born now. That's why you weren't born during Christopher Columbus's whatever. Why were you born now? Brought to Reno. And if you're from Oregon, you've been transplanted, so you're an organ transplant. I waited all year to say that. Oh, Holy Spirit, move on our hearts today. You are crucial and important to what God wants to do in these most crucial closing chapters of the last days before the 70th week of Daniel begins, the book of Revelation. Did you know that? This culture in Zechariah's time, they were, I'm just doing my thing, man. I'm paying the bills, trying to hang with my spouse, trying to raise a family, trying to go to school. No big deal. And almost like the enemy's going, yeah. Go to sleep. Just go to sleep. And I want to say with all the passion that I can muster in my heart, I pray, made alive by the Spirit of the Word of God, no, wake up, beloved end times crucial minister of God. Lord, fall upon this place. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, come. Blow away the cobwebs. Blow away the hurt, Lord God. In some of our cases, some of the bitterness. Oh, they've done me wrong. Is that why you get to check out of God's ministry? But it's just a little house. And God says, you don't get it. It's God's house and God's city. It's God's city. It's God's anointing. You were made for such a time as this. Wake up, please. You know what God has called you to do. You knew it when you were a kid. And part of perhaps what you feel like, maybe that 13-year-old kid when I was walking around aimlessly, bumping around, I had just enough brain and experience and resume on planet Earth to be dangerous. I thought I knew better. I thought I could drive. Yet, truth be known, I was lost and bumping around, reacting from one circumstance to another. Waiting for that day. You know what I'm saying? You know, when that day comes, then I'll be happy. When this day someday comes, then I'll love my spouse like I should. Then I'll get into devotions with my kids when that day happens. Way down the road. And you know what Zechariah's ministry was, by and large? Today's the day. Today is the day, you man and woman of God. Well, how about that for an introduction to the book of Zechariah? Chapter 1, verse 1. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, notice that the Jewish prophet is naming the calendar by a Gentile king. What's he doing that for? Because you are in the times of the Gentiles. Dates according to the Gentile monarch? Yes, it's the times of the Gentiles. You might want to write in your margin there, Hosea chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. I'll quote it for you. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar. Now, did that happen during the 70 years of their absence from their land? Then in 70 AD, the Romans 5th, 10th, 12th, and 15th Legion destroyed Jerusalem. And where did the Jews go then after that? Well, they had been scattered all around the earth for 19 centuries. But what happened in 1948? They became a nation again. They've got their nation. In 67, they got Jerusalem. But are they now doing temple sacrifices? What's the answer? Because we're still in the times of the Gentiles. It is not a political process that is going to free the people of God to have their sacrifices until when? Until the times of the Gentiles is done. And the Father knows exactly that day. Parenthetically, we know that they're going to be able to have their temple sacrifices when? When the Antichrist makes it happen. The Bible says that there will be a political leader who will come to the forefront, probably in some real difficult times that are going on. The whole world is up in a clamor for fear. There's some reasons for that. And what this person does, economic prowess, political reach and scope and authority, and just charisma of character, the whole world says, whatever you want to do. And he solves the Middle East problem. And he says, Jews, you will have your temple. And they'll say, we knew that you were the guy. You're the Messiah, will say many. But there's a problem. There's a two-state situation in existence. There will be a dividing of Jerusalem in half. Have you heard anything at all in the last little while about peace processes having to do with Israel? And if you have studied with enough depth, you have found out that on the table, under Ehud Olmert, way back then, and now even now, there is talk about possibly the dividing of Jerusalem and giving one half of Jerusalem to the Palestinians. Have you heard anything about that? You need to understand something. That is the groundwork and the framework with which, when the church is gone, the Antichrist will step up, make it happen. The Jews begin a 7-year process. Number one, that was impossible before 1948. And then in 67, they get Jerusalem. But political problems being what they were, they couldn't do their temple sacrifices. Who manages the Temple Mount proper? The Arabs do. Until when? Until the Antichrist makes it happen. That's exactly what Hosea is talking about. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king or prince, and without sacrifice, sacred pillar, and without ephod, which is to say the priesthood. That has been the case for 19 centuries. The priesthood, you had to be a Levite. For 19 centuries, they were scattered all throughout the world. We'll never figure out who the Levites are now. You know how they figured it out? If you had the last name Cohen, Cohen is one of the Hebrew derivatives of a word for priest. So they started swabbing the cheeks of men and women by the name of Cohen, and they identified the RNA and the DNA of the mitochondria that date back all the way back to what? The tribe of Levi. They have identified blood lineage of Levitical priests. They know who they are, and they have made their uniforms. Everything is ready to begin the temple sacrifices again, except for one thing, those 30-some acres on the Temple Mount proper that now are under the management of the Arabs. We're this close. One more time, the children of Israel shall abide many days, says Hosea, without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod. Afterward, they shall return and seek the Lord in their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord in his goodness in the latter days. And you might want to mark there Revelation 19. This is what Jesus talked about in Luke 21, verse 24. I'll quote, "And they will fall by the edge of the sword, the people of Israel, and be led away captive into all nations." Didn't that happen in 70 AD? "And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until when?" Until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And we're coming very close to that. Back to our study. All that packed in one verse, Steve, you're cruising, man. You are just light speed to the book of Zechariah here. "In the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah." This is cool. Zechariah's name means, anytime a name in Hebrew ends with A-H, ah, it comes from Yah, which is short for Yahweh, which means the eternal existing one, Jehovah. Zechariah, we know that God's in there somewhere. Yeah, it means God remembers. Where had they been for 70 years? And in 70 years of captivity, you could lose a little steam, couldn't you? His very name means, "Don't worry, Israel, I've not forgotten." He's the son of Berechiah. Berechiah means God will bless. The son of Edo, his name means at the appointed time. Can you see what God is saying? That God will remember and he will bless. When? At the appointed time. And in Zechariah, what is the appointed time? Now. Now is the time. Man, God packs a lot into his Bible. The prophet saying, verse 2, "The Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts." 52 times in this book, you're going to see the Lord of hosts. What this means, what do you mean hosts? You mean like hostess, ding-dongs, and cupcakes? No. Hosts as in the armies of God. And these aren't people armies. These are the angels, the heavenly hosts. His name is purposefully said as, "I am the leader of the 10,000 times 10,000.
You've been listening to the Book of Zechariah with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.